الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Inshallah, today we'll be continuing with Surah Yusuf. We finished off the entire 13th juz, which was till the end of Surah Yusuf, and it included Surah Ra'ad as well. And then lastly, Surah Ibrahim. And tomorrow we'll continue from Surah Hijr. So as we were talking about Surah Yusuf, this surah contains many, many lessons for every part of our life. The trials of Yusuf alayhi salam were many. It included things about family relations, wealth, power and revenge, status, haram invitations, living a life of solitude, being oppressed, separation from family. There's so many things, and of course we cannot go through all of them, but like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is ahsan al-qasas. It is the best story that you can find in the Quran. So all of us should make an effort to read this story and gain the lessons from this story. Moving forward, in one of these ayahs, وَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the sorrow of Ya'qub alayhi salam when he was first separated from Yusuf alayhi salam, and then he was even separated from his other son years later, from Binyamin, which rekindled, when that happened, when he was separated from Binyamin as well, it rekindled his sadness over Yusuf alayhi salam. And how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe the sadness of Ya'qub alayhi salam and what happened? وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ قَظِيمٌ. Ya'qub alayhi salam ended up crying so much that it says that his eyes became white. Of course, it is a sort of blindness that happened, whether it was a full blindness or not, that's a separate discussion. But why? مِنَ الْحُزْنِ, because of the sadness Ya'qub alayhi salam had. And what did the people start saying to him when they saw the sadness of Ya'qub alayhi salam? تَكُونَ مِنَ الْحَالِكِينَ. You're showing so much sorrow, you're crying so much, that it seems that you'll be destroyed because of this crying. That's how much emotion was coming out. And what was Ya'qub alayhi salam's response to all of them? He said, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. That I only complain regarding my sadness and regarding my sorrow to only one being. And that being is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. So in this line lies the lesson for us. That in this pandemic, some of us may be losing loved ones, losing friends, losing our jobs, having a hard time. But in all cases, we should remember two things from this. Number one, first and foremost, feeling sad over our losses is completely fine. As long as we do not wail, it's fine to feel sadness when we have losses. It's a human thing. There's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari where Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu mentions that once we went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and while we were there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held his son Ibrahim radiallahu anhu when he was very, very, very young. He was just a few months old, and he was holding him in his hands. فَقَبَّلَهُ. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed Ibrahim, وَشَمَّهُ, and then he began to smell him out of love. Then he says, we entered upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a bit after, وَإِبْرَاهِيمُ يَجُودُ بِنَفْسِي. And at that time, Ibrahim, being such a young child, he was passing away. As an infant, he was passing away in the arms of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَجُودُ بِنَفْسِهِ means he was breathing his last. فَجَعَلَتْ عَيْنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ تَذْرِفَانَ. So the eyes of Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ began to swell up with tears. So Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, he thought to himself that, wait, Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ has full yaqeen about the akhirah and all of those things and all sorrow and everything comes from Allah. Why is he crying? So he told Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, وَأَنْتَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, that even you, Ya Rasulullah, you cry as well over things like this. So Rasulullah said, Ya Ibn Auf, innaha rahmah. That what you see right now in these tears coming out of my eyes, this is a rahmah and a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثم أتبعها بأخرى. Then Rasulullah وسلم, what do you call it, repeated this statement and he cried again. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَعُ وَالْقَلْبَ يَحْزَنُ. The eyes will swell up with tears, والقلب, and the heart will become sorrow. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يَرْضَى رَبَّنَا. But we need to make sure we do not say anything except that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when we're in our emotional state. And then he finally says, وَإِنَّا بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. He looks at his son and he says, Ya Ibrahim, we are truly saddened by this separation of ours, that you're leaving us, you're leaving this world. So that is the first lesson. Feeling sad is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you do not do anything against Sharia after it because of our emotions. Number two, while we adopt all the material means we have, we must always ultimately have patience and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He alone can help us overcome the most difficult of situations. And as Yaqub alayhi salam said when he heard about his other son Binyamin and Yusuf alayhi salam both being gone, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. He said, I have a lot of, it literally means beautiful patience, but I'm going to show patience that is beautiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is similar to a lesson that Yusuf alayhi salam informed his brothers about as well when they discovered his identity. He told them, مَيَّتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَضِيعُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Whosoever has taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and has patience, then Allah will not waste their deeds. Then the story of Yusuf alayhi salam ends off with the following state, the entire story, the last ayah that's mentioned about the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. After that is the whole page about other stuff. The last ayah that's mentioned and the last part of it, it ends off along with a statement of Yusuf alayhi salam along with the dua he made. Before I mention it, keep in mind everything Yusuf alayhi salam must have been thinking throughout while he was making this statement and making this dua. Everything he went through. The struggle, the impossible situations, trapped amongst his brothers, trapped in the well, trapped in prison. But in the end, due to his trust in Allah, he came out on top. Because of all of this, he said these words. What did he say? He told, Ya Allah, فاطر السماوات والأرض, you are the one that is the controller of the heavens and the earth and everything in between. أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة, you are my guardian and protector in this world and in the Akhirah. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ, give me a death as someone who is submitting to you as a Muslim, وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ, and connect me with those that are pious. So we should remember this dua and this feeling as well, especially at this time. Next is Surah Ra'd. Surah Ra'd primarily defends the truthness of the Holy Qur'an, the Risala of Rasulullah ﷺ, and things about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also discusses attributes of believers and disbelievers and their final abode, which we do not need to get into too much. There is one ayah in here where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about those people, actually a few ayahs, about those people who are intelligent. Right now, everyone is trying to make the most intelligent decisions and choices regarding their situation. Entire countries are looking at data and statistics to see how they should move forward. When it comes to Muslims, we are not simply looking at data for the next few years of our life. We are different. We are looking at data to see how we should all plan all the way until we get into Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. And now, what are the qualities of the intelligent people that Allah ta'ala mentioned here? I'll go through them very quickly. Number one, they fulfill promises and they do not break pacts and agreements. Number two, they keep good relations with family members. This does not mean that they compromise on deen to do so. As is very clear from the incidents of the Sahaba, you do not compromise on deen for the sake of family members. Number three, they fear Allah and the reckoning on the last day. Number four, they have patience for the sake of Allah alone. Number five, they establish salah. Number six, they spend openly and secretly, both situations. Number seven, they repel evil by doing good deeds. This is why it is a good habit to always do something after committing a sin. Like, it's good to have some sort of thing that you've made, not compulsory, but necessary for you. For example, tell yourself that whenever I commit a sin, I'll say astaghfirullah 10 times. Every single time, minor, major, whatever it is, the minimum I'll do, I have to say astaghfirullah at least 10 times. Don't choose something you cannot do. Some people say that, when I make a sin, now I make a goal. Whenever I make a sin, I'll pray 2 rak'ah salah. I'll go make wudu. I'll do 1,000 istighfar. That's impractical. What if you're at school? What if you're at work? You're not going to do any of those things. So it's good to keep something practical that you can do very, very easily. 10 istighfar is like, will take only a few seconds. And once this habit is built that you always do this small thing after every sin, eventually shaitan will dislike making you sin at all. So anyway, moving forward, then is Surah Ibrahim. The theme of Surah Ibrahim is the missions of the prophets, Tawheed, and the proofs of this. The story of Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned in this surah because his struggle was one of the most successful struggles in establishing Tawheed and monotheism throughout the entire world. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us to be thankful, that لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, that if you are thankful, Allah will give you more, and if you are not thankful, and if you're ungrateful, then you may be punished. Moving forward, I won't talk much about this. Let's go to the next ayah, the one that I wanted to mention. In one of these ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about what shaitan is going to do. Now, alhamdulillah, on the Day of Judgment. Alhamdulillah, right now shaitan is at bay. He's chained up, whatever the situation is. But the moment Ramadan is over, he will continue to plot against us. Here, Allah ta'ala tells us exactly what shaitan is going to say on the Day of Judgment if we end up following him. And regarding this, what is it that shaitan is going to say? وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ When everything is done, people are Jannah, Jannah, Jahannam, Jahannam. That is going to look at all of those people, Muslims or non-Muslims, that are now heading into Jahannam because of their deeds, because of their kufr, whatever it is. He will tell them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ Allah promised you something that was true, and I made a promise too, and I was lying. I broke that promise. أَخْلَفْتُكُمْ I was lying. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي And I had no power over you anyway. All I did was I whispered into your ear. I didn't force you to do anything. I just called you. You came. Your fault. So فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ So blame yourself and don't blame me. مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُصْرِخِي I cannot help you today and you cannot help me either. That is what shaitan will tell us on this day. So we should never feel safe from the plot of shaitan. Right now, we may be more at home, away from outside influences, having less chance to be in gatherings that are questionable. We have made our houses into masajid. But don't ever think that shaitan will not come after us. He will chase us till death. And remember, you are going against a mastermind in this field. If a person with a PhD in a field you've never studied challenges you to a debate, how would you feel? Would you have fear that the person will totally outsmart you? Most likely that's how we will feel. Well, shaitan has had centuries to rack up experience and PhDs in the art of deceit. He's deceived the rich, the poor, the weak, the strong, the rulers, the intelligent, the ones that are foolish, the peasants, the pious, and everyone in between. He's a professional at this. If you think you can get away from him, no, you cannot. It's not that easy. There's an incident mentioned in Siyaru A'lami Nubala of Imam Al-Zahbi Rahimahullah. Where the son of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah mentioned that when my father was having the pangs of death, he was about to pass away, I sat next to him, and فَجَعَلَ يَغْرِقُ ثُمَّ يُفِيقُ My father ended up, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, he kept becoming unconscious and conscious and unconscious. He kept fainting and coming back over and over and over again and opening his eyes. And every time he would come back, he would say, لَا بَعْدُ لَا بَعْدُ لَا بَعْدُ No, not yet. No, not yet. No, not yet. And he did this the first time, the second time. Then he says, my father did this the third time, I asked him, Ya Abba, O my father, إِيش هَذَا الَّذِي لَهَجْتَ بِهِ فِي هَذَا الْوَقْتِ What is this that you keep saying at this time? You're at the pangs of death, and instead of doing dhikr or something, you're saying, لَا بَعْدُ لَا بَعْدُ لَا بَعْدُ No, not yet. Are you running away from death? So he says, No, my son. أَمَا تَدْرِي Do you know that why I am saying the word la, no? What's happening here is, shaitan is standing right next to me. And he's right now, غَاضٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَامِنِ He's biting on his fingers because he knows I'm about to pass away on the correct path. But so now he's telling me, standing here in the corner of this room as I'm passing away, he's telling me, يَا أَحْمَدْ فُتَّنِي Oh, Ahmad! You've gotten away from me. That's it. You're passing away. You've saved. You're done. You're free. I can't go after you anymore. You've saved yourself. You've gotten away. You've escaped. So then he said, فَأَقُولُ لَا حَتَّى أَمُوتُ So I keep responding to shaitan and saying, no, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Until I am dead, you are still here. You may still influence me. So we should never feel safe from the plot of shaitan even till death. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last page of the surah, and inshallah I will end off with this final ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that some of us end up living so comfortably that we start living our lives as if we will live forever. We keep telling ourselves we'll change later, we'll change later, we'll change later. Regarding such people, Allah ta'ala tells us, وَأَنذِرِ النَّاسَ يَوْمَ يَأْتِيهِمُ الْعَذَابِ And warn these people for the day that the punishment is going to come to them. فَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا And then those that were the wrongdoers, those that would sin, they are going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا أَخِّرْنَا إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ Ya Allah, we did many sins. Is it possible that this punishment that is coming to us, whether this could be talking about Jahannam or something in this world, that's a different point in tafsir, They'll say to Allah, can you just give us ajran qareeb, just a little bit more time, little bit more time, nujib da'wataka wa nattabi'ur rusul, and we will answer your call and we will follow the prophets properly. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell them, awalam takunu aqsamtum ma lakum min zawal, weren't you the ones that led a life where it was almost as if you were swearing that you are never ever going to pass away? Ma lakum min zawal. That is the life you were living, as if you're going to last forever. So now let this pandemic be a sign that death is right at our door and it may come to us at any time. We should not live lives even now in this situation. We should learn a lesson. Live a life where you're focusing on the akhirah, on your grave. Imagine you may go into your grave tomorrow and live your life accordingly. There's a narration in Mustadrak al-Hakim where Rasulullah ﷺ was once asked, أَيُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَتْيَسُ, which believer is the most intelligent? Rasulullah ﷺ said, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلْمَوْتِ ذِكْرًا وَأَحْسَنُهُمْ لَهُ إِسْتِعْدَادًا قَبْلَ أَنْ يَنْزِلَ بِهِمْ. He said that the one who remembers the death most and the one who is the most prepared for it before it comes upon him, أُولَٰئِكَ مِنَ الْأَتْيَاسِ, they are from the most intelligent. I'll end off with one saying from Tanbih al-Ghafilin of Shaqiq ibn Ibrahim, rahimahullah. He says that I have seen people say four things, but I've seen that in these four specific things, they say them, everyone says them all the time, but they keep going against their word. What are these four things? He says that they say these things, but their actions go against them. What is it they say? Inna abidullah ta'ala, that we are the servants of Allah, but يَعْمَلُونَ عَمَلَ الْأَحْرَارِ, but they act like they're free people. They're not the servants, they're completely free from the chains of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second thing is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَفِيلٌ لِيَرْزَاقِنَا وَلَا تَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَّا مَعَ شَيْءٍ بِالدُّنْيَا, that they say that Allah is the one who is the caretaker and He is the one who is guaranteeing all of our risk, but they are not, their hearts are not content unless they take things from this dunya. Number three, إِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَجْمَعُونَ الْمَالَ لِلدُّنْيَا. They say the akhirah is better than this world, but I see them collecting this world as if that is everything for them. وَالرَّابِعُ لَابُدَّ لَنَا مِنَ الْمَوْتِ وَيَعْمَلُونَ عَمَالَ قَوْمٍ لَا يَمُوتُونَ. And the final thing is, they say that death is surely going to come upon us, but their actions show that they're living a life of those people upon whom there will be no death. He says, this is something I see they say, but their actions go against their word. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.